Tonight, NPR Steve Inskeep reports on civilian casualties in Afghanistan on the PBS program Now with Bill Moyers. Check the website, pbs.org, for local listings. Four Tunisians went on trial this week in Milan, Italy, on charges of trafficking in arms, chemicals, and forged documents. Prosecutors believe that one of the four was sent to Italy by Osama bin Laden to supervise attacks in Europe. In Britain, France, Belgium, Germany, and Spain, authorities are now holding more than a dozen suspected al-Qaeda operatives in an attempt to unravel the plot behind the September 11th attacks and shut down terrorist cells. NPR's Julie McCarthy reports on the progress of Europe's investigations.
European and U.S. authorities believe that lead hijacker Mohammed Atta formed and maintained an al-Qaeda terror cell in the northern German port city of Hamburg, that he and three other conspirators methodically plotted to terrorize the United States, hijacking planes in the name of Allah. Germany holds only one man in connection with September 11th. Prosecutors say Munir Motisadek managed bank accounts for the Hamburg cell and signed Mohammed Atta's will. International arrest warrants remain out for four others believed to have provided logistical help. Terrorist expert Hans-Heine Kühne says the trail has cooled as suspects move further underground.
They can change their attire, they can change their faces, and this is more dramatic for us. The more you are unfamiliar with the features of a face, the harder it gets to recognize it and to re-identify it when it has been changed. And for us, they look all alike. And even these special agents will have difficulties in discriminating him from his brethren.
Ottfried Nassauer of the Berlin Institute for Transatlantic Studies says this new breed of terrorist borrows tactics from organized crime and covert operations of national intelligence services. Nassauer says Germany's ongoing hunt for others who may be connected with September 11th is also an attempt to stop future terror.
There's a huge profiling effort underway, background screening of students in Germany to identify people who fit the same structures. And that is going on and will probably go on for quite a while.
The suicide hijackers exploited Germany's liberal foreign student policy. In Britain, extremists have capitalized on the country's asylum laws. Some of Europe's most pro-Al-Qaeda proselytizers use Friday prayers in London to instruct the faithful to join a holy war.
Those who can do from everywhere, you should do it by mass, by tongues, by money, by email, by anything.
Egyptian cleric Abu Hamza al-Masri is wanted for terror acts in the Middle East, but he is free to tell others in Britain to mount similar plots. Irate authorities from Jordan to France have begun calling London Londonistan. Scotland Yard refuses to speak on the extent to which al-Qaeda has infiltrated Britain, but recent events suggest recruiters have found it fertile ground. Suspected shoe bomber Richard Reid and alleged intended 20th hijacker, Zakaria Moussaoui, both attended London mosques led by radical sheikhs. Magnus Ransdorp of St. Andrews University's Center for Study of Terrorism says the mosques provide a milieu, but don't produce extremists.
Rather, there are talent spotters that prey on some psychological facet of individuals, looking for particular psychological traits like being extremely calm under stressful situations. And we saw that Richard Reid not only once faced the security questioning at Paris Airport, but when he was turned away, he went back twice.
Britain lost sight of London cleric Abu Qatada, also known as bin Laden's ambassador to Europe. Wanted for terror acts in Jordan, Qatada's pro-jihad message attracted dissidents from Pakistan and the Middle East until he vanished. Cardiff University criminologist Michael Levy defends British police for moving cautiously against prominent Islamic clerics, whose crackdown, he says, could trigger unrest among followers drawn from Britain's minority communities.
It may not worry America if there are riots in British cities, but who's going to pay the social and economic costs of reconstructing race relations in the UK or Germany is going to be the UK or Germany and not the US.
Despite strengthened anti-terror laws and more than a dozen terror-related arrests, Britain has charged only two men for having direct ties to al-Qaeda. The two, both Algerians, are linked to alleged Al-Qaeda operative Jamal Begal, a Franco-Algerian, suspected in a major conspiracy to attack the U.S. Embassy in Paris. French police, experienced in Algerian extremism, exposed the plot and jailed Begal. Author Roland Jacquard has made a study of Al-Qaeda's methods, as it learned to live, think, and even pay taxes in Western societies, in order to ensconce terror cells and bide time sleeping.
Yes, let's say they need to stay quiet during 2 years, 3 years, and spy a lot of targets, military and civil targets, and they need only to receive one day just an order.
Jacquard chronicles Al-Qaeda instructions for making organic poisons, disguising explosives in hairbrushes, and using a rat cage to detonate a bomb. He estimates there are hundreds of sleepers schooled in such methods, residing in France alone. Terror expert Magnus Ransdorp says the West is waging an unwinnable war against such an enemy.
There is no end game. We can only hope to contain and to degrade it, because one of the lessons we have is that Al-Qaeda continuously mutates. It changes shape like a chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
It's an extraordinarily complex web of network.
Cross-pollinating terror cells move freely across a borderless Europe. National police increasingly pool intelligence to try to curb their lethal ambitions. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, London.